Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. We'll begin our reading again at verse 13. James says, "Come now," which only here and in chapter 5, verse 1 are the only two places that agenoun, which is the two words in the Greek text, that's actually an interjection calling people to listen. It's comparative to the Hebrew word hol, which is listen up, pay attention, something important. So both here, then when we start chapter 5 of James, it's the exact same phrase, the only two places where it's found. So obviously James is making a very important, emphatic statement here with an interjection to pay attention. Come now, the ones who are saying, that's the literal translation. The word saying is a present participle, which means this is a habit of life. People who are continuously saying, and here's the quote, "Today or tomorrow, we will go into this city." The literal translation of tainde is literally this, that is something specific. And it pictures somebody with their finger pointing on a map and showing people what specific city they are going to go into and do business. English translations have such and such a city, but that's not what the adjective means. It actually means we will go into this city. And the word go is poruomai, which means to go with a commission or to go on business. Versus erchomai, those of you following a Greek text, erchomai means just to go somewhere, but poruomai means to go with a commission or a purpose. So this person is saying, today or tomorrow we will go into this city, and we will spend 1 year there, and we will do business. Again, that's poruomai, or it's emporuomai, meaning where we get a word emporium from. We will do business, and we will make a profit. Unquote. Well, you who do not understand what tomorrow will produce, and again, the Greek text is a Greek version of a Hebrewism, yelek yom, that means you do not know what tomorrow will produce. How can you say you're going to do that tomorrow? See, that's presumption. How do you know what tomorrow will produce? Or what is your life? The word what in Greek is not the normal interrogative. This is quality. You don't even know your life. You don't even know what you're made of. Or what is your life? For it is a vapor, appearing for a little time, and then afterward disappearing. Instead, it is necessary, or it is right, that you should say, quote, if the Lord should will, we will live, and we will do as this or as that. But now you are boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one having known to do good and not doing it, again, a present participle, continuously not doing it, though the person knows what they ought to do, to him it is sin. Very, very powerful, important text for us to study. We started it last week. We saw in verse 13 that James addresses the issue of presumptuous sin. Presumptuous sin. A presumptuous person or a presumptuous attitude is an attitude that I am in control of my life and I will make plans and I will do as I will to do. And if God doesn't want it to happen, I guess he'll stop me, but this is what I'm going to do. That's presumptuous. And so verse 13 tells us that the ones who are continually saying today or tomorrow, we will go into this city. We will spend a year there, and we will do business, and we will make a profit. I had somebody come over and share with me this week about a marketing plan. This person is a Christian, so they want other Christians to get to reap the bounty of this system, you know, especially in hard economic times. And so we said, well, that's, you know, some people make it, some people don't. And this person says, no, no, don't say that. Because in 6 months, I will be making, and she named an amount, and I am going to buy my house, and I am going to do good. Called it positive confession. James calls it the sin of presumption. Who are we to tell God what we're going to do and what we're not going to do, or what's going to happen and what's not going to happen? As if to say, if we think a certain way, and we approach life a certain way, that that's the way it's going to happen. I heard about the man who is a Christian Scientist who they don't believe in hell. So he died and he woke up in hell and he says, I'm not here and it's not hot. Positive thinking, positive confession. It doesn't work other than separating the mind from reality. And it isn't reality. We studied last week from Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, the five I wills of Satan. I will be like the Most High. I will be above his throne. Five I wills of Satan. And that's where we get it from. That's our fallen sin nature. A sin doesn't necessarily always have to do with being a bad person or doing bad things. Isaiah 53:6 tells us that sin is going our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of soul. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've gone our own way. That's what it means. Form your own version of Christianity or your own version of what life is all about, and to be determined that my will be done. We saw from Luke chapter 12, verses 16 to 21, the man, the farmer, who had a bountiful season, and he tore down his old barn and built a new barn and put his crops in there and said, I have enough to retire. Kick back, he says to his soul, kick back, take it easy. Your hard work is over. And Jesus said, and God said to him, you fool, because tonight your soul will be required back from you. In other words, the God who gave you your soul is going to stand before God tonight. You're not even going to have a chance to even enjoy those new crops. And Jesus said, God will say, and then whose will these crops be? They're not going to be yours. You presumed, and you presumed incorrectly. In verse 14, the proper perspective, we have the person who is presumptuous in verse 13. Verse 14 is the proper perspective, and there's two of them. James says, you who do not understand, first of all, the yelik yom, that is what tomorrow is going to produce. The proper perspective is, I don't have the foggiest idea what's going to happen tomorrow. Do I have to make plans? Well, I can project in the future that if it's the Lord's will, you know, I kind of have my day planned out as I think that's what God wants me to do. But my approach to the day is if that's the Lord's will for my life, I don't know. And in reality, that's true. There are two facets to God's will. Number one, God's will is revealed. For instance, in God's word in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, be thankful for all things at all times, for this is the will of God for you. Comes right out and tells me what God's will is for my life. But then there are other things about God's will that are hidden. God's word doesn't tell me what I'm going to do tomorrow or what's going to happen or how I'm going to do it or what it's for. Doesn't tell me that. God's will is hidden. So I have to approach that area. I know God wants me to be thankful for all things. That's his will for my life. But whatever all things are, I don't know what they are yet that I'm already thankful for. And secondly, he says, for what is your life? He says, you don't even know what your life is. It is a vapor. Again, the Greek word, atmis, has to do with steam coming out of a tea kettle. You're just but a vapor. You're just steam. Appearing for a short time and then afterward disappearing. Or as one of my mentors used to tell me, that life is nothing but take one step, slip on a banana peel, and fall into a box. That's it. That's how quick life is. Our life is physical life here is temporary. So it tells us proper perspective is that you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Not only do you not know, you don't even know who you are. I think when we're younger, we have more of an approach to life that we are invincible. I'm going to be around for a long time. Then the older we get, the more we realize, wow, next step is I took my step and I slipped on the banana peel, and the next step is fall into a box. It's gone by pretty quick, and you only have one time around. Verse 15, the proper approach. He says, instead, it is proper that you should say, if the Lord should will. Now, that's not just a formula. That doesn't give me the freedom to plan my day tomorrow, and all I have to do is tag this little phrase on that says, if the Lord should will. Then I can say, I will go into this city, and I will make a profit, and I'll be there for a year. And if the Lord should will. If the Lord should will, there's two things. First of all, that we will live. We don't even know if we're going to be alive tomorrow, let alone what we're going to do. It's presumptuous to even think that we're going to be alive tomorrow to do what we want to do. If it's the Lord's will, we will live tomorrow. Secondly, if it's the Lord's will, we will do as this or as that. If that's the Lord's will, we have no idea. He says, but now you're boasting in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. I mean, he's talking about something here that we all do all of the time. We all make plans. We all decide what we want to do. And we figure if it's not the Lord's will, I'm sure that when the time comes, he's going to do something forcefully that's going to prevent us from doing what we want to do. So then we'll know it's the Lord's will not to do it. Well, I've taken the rough road. So for today he says, all such boasting is arrogant. That's the result of presumption. That it is boasting to say, I will do this or I will do that, because we are boasting against God. And he calls it, and now you are boasting in your arrogance. The word for arrogance, alazoneis, means empty claims. Empty claims. To boast about something you have no control over and boasting about something that just basically isn't there. You're trying to present yourself as being successful in this earthly life, but it's empty. You don't know if you're going to go to that city. You don't know if you're going to do business for a whole year. You don't know if you're going to make a profit. You have no idea. The same word for arrogance is found in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. John says, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man should love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." The word pride is our word arrogance. Pride of life means that you point out the physical things that you have acquired in life and you use that as your presentation of success. Look at my house. 4-car garage. 3 new cars that we haven't even driven yet. I can't even get around to drive all my new cars. I'm so successful, you know? Called the pride of life. These things that we use as our success pledges in front of people are basic things that we need. We need a home to live in. Some people don't. We need a car for transportation. That's what it's for. I can remember when I got my first car, and I can remember when my son got his first car. He was in the stage where he loved flames. Not real ones, but, you know, his shirt had flames on it. And when he got his first car, I said, "Please, don't go there." You know, we like to. In fact, many studies from those that work in social relationships find that young people, no matter what kind of car they have, they like to roll the windows down and turn the stereo up. And you think, oh, how obnoxious. But what they're doing is you're listening to that music and you are seeing them. That's their identification. They're cool. This singer, you know, whoever this singer is, you hear the singer and you get the identification there. Wow. That's cool. I mean, why in the world would anybody need to crank a stereo up and they're sitting right next to it and roll the windows down? They obviously want to project some kind of image. It's identification. So we use the physical things of this life as the indicator of who we are as people. We want people to see us a certain ways. And we want to live up to the standards of the family. You still wasting your life by going to church? And you didn't get that third job? So you can buy your new home, your 3 cars? You know, time's running out. You're getting older. Pressure. Wasting time. Same word for arrogance is found in 2 Timothy 3:2. Paul says, "For men in the last days will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters," that's the word arrogance, "proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy." People are going to use the physical things of life that we need for necessities, only they're going to use it for a status symbol. They're going to boast over the things of their status. So the result of presumption, according to James, is now you are boasting in your arrogance. Empty claims. All such boasting is evil. He says the proper thing to say is, "If the Lord should will." That's not just a formula, a phrase in a formula. That is an approach to life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of the principles of prayer is to pray for God's will to be carried out here on the earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it is interesting, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but rather the one who is doing the will of my Father who is in heaven. So it's not the one who talks words, but rather who is doing the will of the Father who is in heaven. In Mark chapter 3, verses 34 and 35, Jesus was sitting in a house, and he was teaching, and there were crowds outside of the house, and people couldn't get through, and his mother and brothers and sisters were trying to get into him because they heard that he was presenting himself as the Messiah, and they thought he was mad. Mary came to get her son and take him home. But they couldn't get through. So they sent a messenger in saying, and the messenger came and said, your mother and your brothers and your sisters are outside, they're calling for you. And Jesus said, as he looked around at the group in the house, he says, behold, my mother and my brother, for whoever will do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. Well, basically what he was saying was, yeah, that's my physical family out there, but whoever does the will of God, that person is my brother and sister and mother. In John chapter 7, verse 17, Jesus said, if any man desires to do God's will, he will know of the teaching whether it is of God or the person is speaking of themselves from themselves. That's pretty good. What's your motive when you seek what the Bible has to say? What's your motive? Are you looking for something? Exegesis is a word that means you take out of the Word of God for what it says. Eisegesis means you take into the Word for what you already believe that it says, and you're trying to prove it. That's eisegesis. Exegesis is taking out of the Word for what it says. We use eisegesis a lot. We already have convictions and beliefs about what we think the Bible is saying and what it means. And we want to study scriptures that's going to back it up. Again, that's presumption. But Jesus said, if you will to do the will of God, if that's your desire, and you don't care what it is, I just want to know what God's will is. Jesus said, you will know if the teaching you're listening to is from God or it's from the person themselves. Because a teaching will do one of two things. This is very important. Anybody's teaching, it doesn't matter that somebody uses the Bible, but they are applying it to your life for one of two reasons. Number one, the false teaching is, here is this teaching in the Bible. You practice it, and you can take control of your own life. And you can make things happen the way you want them to happen. It goes along that line of you taking control of your own life. The second teaching, which is scriptural and from the Lord, is that the Lord's in control. And we are to submit to his will. We are to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow the Lord. If you desire to do his will, the teaching's going to tell you what God's will is and how you are to follow him, not how you are to be your own God and how you are to be in control of your own life. You see, if I'm looking for the Lord's will and somebody makes this presentation and somebody says to me, it is God's will for your life that you become prosperous if you sell this product. after I sign you up. I mean, I got to get my $39.95 before you can make your profit. I'm seeking the Lord's will, and that just, you know, I'm not seeking my will. I'm seeking His will. You're telling me how to be in charge of my own life. I don't want to be in charge of my own life because I'm not in charge of my own life. And I do not want to come up against God. That's what Satan did. I will be like the Most High. I will, I will, I will. I don't want to go there. That's what sin is. I don't want to go there. So Jesus said, if anybody wills, that is your desire is to do God's will, you'll know if the teaching is right or wrong. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 2. Peter says that you should live the rest of your life not in the lusts of the flesh and serve men, but that you submit and live the rest of your life for the will of God. In our text in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, praise is given to God and says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and account of your will they exist and were created. Everything is based on the will of God. According to His will, He created all things. According to His will, He created you and me in the time and history in which we were born. God has a will for each person. The definition of sin in the Bible is people going their own way. I'm not seeking God's will. I don't want to know God's will. It's an interruption to what I want to achieve and where I want to go and what I want to do. He says, all such boasting is evil. That's the word poneros. It's not just bad or wicked. It's evil. In fact, it's the name for Satan in the Bible. Verse 17, in summary, therefore, to the one who has known to do right and is not continually doing it, to him it is sin. So James says, if you know to do right, if you know that you should be seeking the Lord's will and you should be submitting to His will and how He guides your life, and that you should deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him, and you don't do it, well, it goes from the category of once you know what's right to do and you don't do it, it's sin. Period. It's evil. Demonic evil. And it's sin. You can see it in our own lives. If we ever want to understand what sin is, it's when we conduct our lives in such a way and make decisions in such a way that we do what we want to do. Don't seek the Lord. Don't want to know what His will is. For sure, it's presumption of me to live life without denying myself. There lies the conflict. My will versus God's will. My desire versus His will. James says, you need to pay attention. This entire chapter 4 is dealing with how to use the world. And James says it's the lust in your flesh making connection with the world, and that's the problem. To the point that you even look to the world and chart out and map out your own will about what you're going to do and what you want to do and how you're going to do it. All such boasting is evil, and it's sin. Next week, we begin our last chapter in James chapter 5. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, how it strikes us hard and strikes us right where we live and right who we are in our hearts and our minds. Help us to understand. Help us to know what is the right thing to do in your eyes. That is to seek your will and to admit to your will and submit to your will, whatever that might be. We pray that you take these truths and work in our heart to bring us in line with your will. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.